This is the Everyday AI Show, the everyday podcast where we simplify AI and bring its power to your fingertips. Listen daily for practical advice to boost your career, business, and everyday life.
Is NVIDIA more than just chips? A lot of you probably, when you think of NVIDIA, you probably think computer graphics, generative AI. But what you probably don't know is that because of all of that technology, NVIDIA has its thumb on the heart of everything, including financial services, which is what we're going to be talking about today on Everyday AI. Thank you for joining us. Welcome. My name is Jordan Wilson. I am the host of Everyday AI, your daily live stream podcast and free daily newsletter, helping everyday people learn generative AI and how they can leverage it to grow their companies and to grow their career. And if you're joining us on episode like 230 now, you're probably thinking this looks a little weird. This isn't how it normally is. Well, yes, this is actually our first in-person interview for the live stream. We're extremely excited to be broadcasting live at NVIDIA's GTC conference out here in San Jose, California. We're going to have a lot more this week, but today we are talking financial services. And before we get into that, I do have to give a shout out because it's not too late. You can still join the GTC conference for free. We're going to have the link in the comments and in our newsletter, as well as a way to earn DLI credits as well. All right. So now, after that big windup, I want to introduce our guest, Malcolm DeMayo, the Vice President of Global Financial Services at NVIDIA. Malcolm, thank you for joining the show.
Jordan, it's great to be here with Everyday AI. Really awesome. And it's awesome that you're here at GTC. So thank you.
Oh, I'm excited. It's been a five year kind of delay of us just waiting back for this in person, right?
Great.
What's been your vibe so far, kind of walking around here?
We're sold out. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So it's great. It's going to be an amazing week. So definitely, audience, tune in.
Yeah. So I mean, can you tell us a little bit about what you do in your role in global financial services?
Sure. Thank you. So most people think of NVIDIA, like you said in your intro, as a GPU or a microprocessor, and we are so much more than that. We've been involved in financial services for over 15 years. My role as the global head of financial services at NVIDIA is to make sure we have the right strategy, that we're building the right partnerships, that we're engaging with lighthouse customers to what we call build our first bowl of soup, which is solving really hard problems with our accelerated compute platform. We sell nothing direct. We work through our ecosystem, and we believe that everyone should win, starting with solving the customer's problem. The partners should be winning, and we should.
You know, yeah, even going back to that, how does, in the end, NVIDIA actually play out in all of these partnerships, right? Can you explain that for our audience? Because is it just, you know, a platform that, you know, banks and financial institutions log into that helps them, you know, better use their data? Or, you know, what does it actually look like, NVIDIA's sure. partnership in the long run?
Sure. So take a step back. If you go back to, say, 2012, we helped JPMorgan Chase to accelerate their risk management trading platform, options trading platform. They saw an 80% reduction in total cost of ownership and a 40x speed up in their trading. Fast forward to today, AI exploded on the scene in 2022 with ChatGPT. And it's really hard for financial firms to leverage AI. There's a lot of work they have to do, and they need help. So it requires ecosystem partners. It requires their current ISV partners, their software vendors, to take our platform, embed it in, so that they can deliver value to the customer without having to rip and replace their technology. Mm-hmm. And we deliver our platform through the hyperscalers. So all of the clouds are our biggest customers. They make our platform available to their customers. All of the large server OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, like Hewlett Packard, Dell, Lenovo, Supermicro. I don't want to leave anybody out, but all of them.
Got to get them all.
Yeah. And they all deliver our platform, and they have expertise to help customers leverage, to help the financial firms leverage the capabilities in our platform. Mm-hmm. You mentioned DLI, our Deep Learning Institute, and it is a gem. It's sort of a hidden gem. DLI is free. It's free for anyone to come in and use, to learn how to use our platform to build generative AI applications. applications.
Mm-hmm. You know, Malcolm, you said something there that's interesting. You know, you talked about kind of this explosion of ChatGPT, you know, onto the scene, about 2 years ago now. How did you see that from your vantage point playing out specifically for financial institutions? Do you think it was maybe kind of watching from afar and saying, okay, this isn't really for the financial sector? Or do you think that some, you know, banks and financial institutions were quick to adapt?
I think that today, 2024, most people, and there's still some who are skeptical, you know, in the business, there were a couple of technology waves like blockchain, all right, that had a huge hype cycle, and still it's going to be a valuable technology, but it didn't deliver on the hype. And so there's a few doubting Thomases out there, but for the most part, everyone understands today that generative AI is a game changer. It is a tsunami wave size game changer for financial services, for every industry, but in particular financial services. And when ChatGPT was announced, when generative AI exploded on the scene in 2022, executives, not just the data scientists who learn how to use the technology and use the technology to improve the efficiency, operational efficiency of these firms, to improve productivity and to create new revenue streams in partnership with the practitioners, the banking practitioners, the trading practitioners, the network payments firm practitioners. They started to come to see us. The executives started to come to see us because anyone can use ChatGPT and see how powerful this technology is, and so they wanted to understand how can we use this in our business. So 2023, Jordan, was the year of experimentation for financial services. How can we leverage this to generate better experiences for our customers? If you read any 10K. Today from a financial firm, one common theme is we need to improve customer experience. Mm-hmm. And this technology is enabling that in call centers with digital assistants. For wealth managers, you have co-pilots that are capable of being very smart in real time helpers. Mm-hmm. And you know, the financial firms also want to be careful not to kill the next generation of bankers, because a lot of young bankers coming into the business are in an apprenticeship. Mm. So using the technology required that experimentation and understanding how are we going to use it in the firm. This year, 2024, is the year of AI going into production. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see some really exciting things.
You know, something that's interesting there is, you know, even mentioning these partnerships that have been going back a very long time. And with artificial intelligence, it's not new to the financial sector, right?
No, not at all.
You know, machine learning, deep learning has been pivotal for the industry for many decades. But with generative AI, it seems like kind of like what you were even saying, all of a sudden executives are paying attention. And it's not necessarily, you know, people in IT or your, you know, chief technology officer, et cetera. How should those in the financial sector be looking at generative AI, specifically, even when we're talking about large language models?
Yeah, well, so they should approach it, I think, with enthusiasm, and you want to embrace this technology. The reality is generative AI is very good, and AI in general. Pre-generative AI was amazing at classifying information, and we just do a ton of that in banking. A ton of classification, document classification, etc. Very good at making predictions, used to make predictions. But generative AI kicks it up a notch and allows you to really, for the first time, analyze the vast mountain of unstructured data, and that's data that the document data, written data, that's video, that's images. So for the first time, they have the opportunity to harvest all of this knowledge that exists in all the data. And the thing you need to keep in mind is that generative AI is, while it's very good at analyzing and finding insights in all of this giant haystack of data, what it's not, it can't replicate the way humans make decisions. And we probably, as humans, make thousands of decisions a day and don't even realize it. And we just generally go through this decision tree of thinking, this the logic, the way our brains are wired. Generative AI, that multi-step thinking isn't there yet. So it's a great tool to help people understand. So think about a wealth manager. Instead of having to collect data from 15 different systems on their institutional client, Gen AI can do that for them. They can summarize it. It can do the extraction. But you still need that wealth manager to understand the customer's goals, to understand their risk tolerances, and to build a really good strategy for them and plan and help them execute it.
In your role at NVIDIA, you've been able to see this Gen AI implementation in the financial sector from many different angles. I'm curious, you know, so far, not saying we're at a, you know, halfway point of Gen AI implementation or anything like that, but, you know, how would you grade the financial sector right now in terms of keeping up or actually implementing generative AI? And maybe can you talk about, just from your vantage point, some of the kind of challenges and triumphs that you've seen as well?
Sure. Well, so just to put a punctuation mark on the question, we're at the very beginning. We're not in the middle. And we're at the end of what you would consider general purpose compute. And we're at the very beginning of a new era of compute called accelerated compute. And what's driving that is generative AI. And so today or yesterday, financial firms have thousands of applications, hundreds or thousands of applications they've written. Tomorrow, in the future, that's all going to be done by AI. And as an assistant to a developer. And you'll have, instead of thousands of applications that are hard-coded and have and require developers to go in and rewrite and modify, AI is going to do all of that. So now you have the opportunity to do higher level things. And so, you know, I from a grading perspective, I would say that financial services industry gets a very high grade. Very, very good at adopting technology. This is what they've done for decades. They have to be careful because they're highly regulated. The data that they use is highly sensitive and they need to protect it. They are the custodians of their customer data and they do an amazing job at it. The uses of technology by bad guys is escalating and they fight them every day on behalf of their clients. So I would give them a very high mark.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because it's very easy to see the wins for generative AI. You know, you gave the example of, you know, someone having to look into multiple different areas for data, and now generative AI can do that for them. What are some of the challenges specifically in the financial sector that people need to be aware of? You know, because sometimes people just want to just go out and, you know, leverage generative AI and figure it all out later. So what are some of those risks or, you know, things that people should be concerned about?
Hey, this is Jordan, the host of Everyday AI. I've spent more than 1,000 hours inside ChatGPT, and I'm sharing all of my secrets in our free Prime Prompt Polish ChatGPT course that's only available to loyal listeners like you. Here's what Lindy, who works as an educational consultant, said about the PPP course.
I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting the results from ChatGPT that I needed and wanted. And after taking the PPP course, I now realized that I was not priming correctly. So I will be heading back into ChatGPT right now to practice my priming, prompting, and polishing.
Everyone's prompting wrong, and the PPP course fixes that. If you want access, go to podppp.com. Again, that's podppp.com. Sign up for the free course and start putting ChatGPT to work for you.
Well, that's kind of a two-pronged question. For financial firms, the challenges are, this isn't easy to do. And the technology is changing so fast that it's hard to keep up. And so working with an accelerated compute platform like NVIDIA's takes that burden off their shoulders. We're keeping up. We make sure that every time a new model comes out, it's optimized to run on the platform. That we have financial firms coming to us and asking the question, how do I know if my model's good? How do I know if this thing's, you know, accurate? How do I measure that? And, you know, the metrics for models today are things like, can it take the MCAT? Can it take the LSAT? Can it take the GMAT? Can it take the blah, blah, blah test? And that was a technical phrase, by the way.
I failed that test. So,
and so, you know, they may want to show that the model is a very, very accurate and can take the CPA exam. They may want to show that the model can take, take the Certified Financial Advisor test. And so we've built all of those evaluators into our platform. So you're going to hear all about that this week at NVIDIA. That was a sneak preview. From a risk perspective, you know, the biggest challenge, and so it's very hard to work with mountains of data. It's very hard to work with a model that's frozen in time. And so we've built a platform that helps them do that. So, for example, the frozen in time. If you use an API service and you ask it a question, a current question, you'll get an answer back, something like, I've only been trained through September 2023, right? So we use a technique called retriever augmented generation, and this was created by Meta, but we've baked that into our platform so that customers can now have a conversation with their most important data sources. Imagine just being able to ask a question in English and get an answer from your most important data source instead of having to sit down, write a structured code, test the code, etc. That's how this is changing the industry. Mm-hmm. From a risk perspective, there's the risk of hallucination. And so what we've done is built guardrails. And our guardrails ensure that a model stays on topic. It's not going to talk about religion. It's not going to talk about anything, politics. It's not going to talk about anything mom taught you not to talk about. You know, we make sure that the model is only connecting to trusted sources. That's another guardrail. And the ability for customers to build their own guardrails using our open source platform is really easy. And they can do it again anywhere, in cloud, on-prem, through all of our partners.
Could you maybe just walk us through the whole process, whether it's an actual example or theoretical, of how financial institutions either are or can really push forward, save time, improve efficiencies by using NVIDIA's platform?
Sure, a couple examples. First of all, the industry, banking at its core is a batch system that was developed in the 1960s. These are mainframe-based platforms, and running in COBOL, which is sort of your father, your grandfather's programming language. I did learn COBOL, but at any rate, what we're able to do today is use an AI assistant to essentially analyze that code and write it in something modern like Java as a first step, and then maybe a second step to something that's more modern like Python, etc. Or C++, which is very fast. So that's one example. And if you have code being generated, and about 40% of the code in GitHub today is generated by AI, think about it. If you're a financial firm and you have 10,000 software developers, and they're now 40%, 50% more productive, all right, that means you can get 40, 50% more work done. That's more value to your clients. That's more capability for your clients to use. Another example is in the call center. You call your bank on Saturday morning or on lunch break during the week, and you get the infamous touch one for blank, touch two for blank, touch three for blank, or wait for the next available assistant, right? Yeah, nobody likes that. 30 minutes later, a very nice person gets on and helps you. With digital co-pilots, you're going to be able to have the option to say, you know what, I just have a simple question. If 7 out of the 10 questions that are asked on a call center are just complaints, help me with something. All right, a digital avatar, a human, which we build in our platform. So a very lifelike person will come on and say, hi, how can I help you? I need to reset my password. Here's how you do it. Or I don't understand how to transfer money using Zelle. Well, here's how you do it. Yeah. All right, and so the opportunity to take those 30-minute wait queues down to, you know, immediate, real time, And so what have you done? You've improved customer experience. And the customer is going to walk away that one good experience. All the surveys say one good experience means they're going to use more of your products. Mm.
You know, yeah, we've talked a lot about how NVIDIA's advancement in this sector have changed things for the financial institutions or wealth management, et cetera. But we haven't talked too much about on the customer side or on the client side. So do you see that as maybe the future of where we're heading? And instead of, yeah, like waiting on the line forever, is there maybe just speaking with a digital twin avatar, is it going to be that personalized? Even, you know, you talked about RAG, right? Like, would my even data be accessible with a digital avatar? Like, would I be able to instantly make changes like that, whether it's my personal banking, wealth management, et cetera? Is that where we're going?
You're going to have AIs helping AIs. You're going to have AIs watching AIs. So that, you know, the very first thing will be, do you actually need access to this information? Do you have the right authority to have access to this information? But yeah, think about today, everything is so siloed. It's very hard for customers and bankers to have a holistic conversation, and all that's gonna change. We're de-siloing. AI is helping firms de-silo. So it's gonna be exciting.
So speaking of exciting, we're in a very exciting environment here at GTC in San Jose. What can you talk about where you're headed in the future? Because I know we're always going to get, you know, some big announcements and some things that I'm sure the sector is going to be reacting to in the weeks and months to come. But what is in the near future for NVIDIA, especially in your space?
People always wonder, what do you guys do? We started there. And Jordan, the first thing to understand is that there's a lot of GPU and hardware accelerators. There's FPGAs, GPUs, ASICs. These are all hardware accelerators. There's lots of them. But there's only one accelerated compute platform, and that's ours. And we started building this after AI's Big Bang in 2012. Jensen saw the correlation between AI and compute and started investing heavily so that when the world was surprised in 2022 with AI's iPhone moment, ChatGPT, we were ready. All right. Most firms are trying to build what we have. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to continue to see from us is an amazing. But in the last 10 years, we've delivered a million X speed up to our customers. And we're going to do the same thing in the next 10 years, mm-hmm. starting today at GTC at 1 o'clock at Jensen's keynote. Don't miss it. He's going to be announcing so many cool things. And so the first observation is that we're a full stack platform and nobody else is. The second observation is that we're available everywhere. And as we generate speed ups, it makes this more affordable and more adoptable. And when we put it in cloud and you can use it as a pay for use, it means that more and more enterprises have access to it. Mm.
Is there a scenario in your mind when you look in the coming year or two, do you see just development going even faster? You know, I even think in my own, you know, personal experience with generative AI, and I feel, you know, in the last like couple of months, it's hard to keep up. So specifically, even in the financial sector, like you said, it's AI and machine learning, deep learning has been in play for a decade. Do you think, and maybe with what's announced today, right, is it going to go into hyperdrive in the coming months and you know, maybe a year ahead?
Well, the last three waves, sort of the internet, mobile, and cloud, took 20 years to mature and to be fully adopted or largely adopted, maybe is the way to say it. And, you know, compared to AI, that's glacier movement.
Yeah.
AI is moving at light speed. The announcement is every day there's another research paper published, there's another innovation, there's another. And so you need a company like NVIDIA who is on top of this and building. And who are our biggest customers? It's the clouds. It's the server providers who build all of this and make it available to the everyday person. So, you're going to see in the trading business, the half-life of an alpha signal. Alpha signal is the industry sort of description for above average profits, mm-hmm. or returns. All right. That the half-life of a signal now continues to shrink. because the market's moving so fast and everybody's competing in a world where they all have access to the same data. And so how they use that data, how, you know, is the differentiator, how curious they're and how talented their team is and how expert they are at what they do and how good at using the platform we've built they are, is what's going to allow them to win. Mm.
What would you say, what's your biggest piece of advice, maybe whether it's, you know, people at extremely large firms who are still tackling, you know, Gen AI implementation, because it is an ongoing process, right? What's your best piece of advice for people working in large financial firms? Maybe they're going back and forth. Maybe they're not on, you know, in NVIDIA's platform yet. But what's your best piece of advice for them to first understand generative AI and large language models? But how should they be actually looking, or what problems should they be trying to solve?
So first thing is embrace this. And don't get left behind. The ship's leaving the dock. Don't stand on the dock. Embrace this. Lots of ways to do that. We have a launch pad. It's free. You can experiment on that launch pad for 2 weeks and try something out. Use our DLI, our Deep Learning Institute, to learn. Come visit us. Our executive briefing center is whirring right now. It is just jam-packed. But when you leave, you will have a very good understanding. When customers walk in, they're like, we know this is for real. We just don't understand necessarily. When they leave, they're like, wow. Yeah. So number one, embrace it. Number two, make the investments in your people, upskilling them, and two, in the infrastructure, because the infrastructure in everyone's data centers today is yesterday's infrastructure. They need an accelerated compute platform, and you can start small and build as time goes, but over the next few years, they need to transform their data center from a data center, which is a cost and expense item. It stores emails, you know, to an AI factory, which allows them to generate AIs that improve productivity, improve operational efficiency, and help them grow revenue by doing a better job with delighting their customers, depending on what segment they're in. So those are the three things. It's one, embrace this; two, upskill your people; and three, invest in the right technology.
Yeah. Well, speaking of investing in the right technology, hopefully you're doing that with us today, like we mentioned, Jensen's keynote coming up at 1 p.m. Pacific. Malcolm DeMayo, Vice President of Global Financial Services at NVIDIA. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, Jordan.
All right. Hey, and as a reminder, stay tuned with us. We're going to be here throughout the rest of the whole week with bringing you exclusive guests, insider insights, and also check out the show notes. We do have that giveaway going on, so you can sign up for free to watch the conference virtually, no matter where you are. Maybe you can't make it to San Jose. We'll be giving away that free GPU as well as the credits. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure to go to youreverydayai.com, sign up for that free daily newsletter, and we'll see you back tomorrow and the rest of this week at GTC for more Everyday AI. Thanks.
And that's a wrap for today's edition of Everyday AI. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps keep us going. For a little more AI magic, visit youreverydayai.com and sign up to our daily newsletter so you don't get left behind. Go break some barriers, and we'll see you next time.